Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening to any listeners who might be listening anywhere at this time. Welcome to another episode of Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live from New York City on this July 9th, 2016. And I think I said broadcast live from New York City. I might not be too quick on the mental uptake based on, well, I've been pretty busy this afternoon, but based on the things that have been going on here, and not New York City as much as here in the United States of America here in these last 3 days, these last 3 or 4 days. Okay, so we've all seen, everybody, unless you've just arrived on this planet, we've all seen what's happening. We've all seen what's going on in Dallas, Texas. But, you know, I'm going to talk about that. I had said I was going to continue talking this week about the topics I had last week. And I was continuing from, or my intention was to continue talking about women in combat. And then the battle between North Carolina and the LGBT movement, which was and still is going on, even though all that has pretty much taken a sideline these last few days, and especially now, right now, considering everything that was going on. And I was going to probably intentionally elaborate on this last couple of weeks' Jazz Fest that I go to every year and talk about the people there and what a wonderful time it is. I mean, if there's any venue that can redeem your faith in humanity, I feel that the Jazz Festival I attend in Saratoga is one of those. You can meet the nicest people. You can meet the nicest, easiest-going people. There's nothing of any confrontation that I have ever witnessed between anybody at any time, in spite of who the artists are there. And sometimes, as each year goes by, it gets, as I said in last year's topic on it, really jazzy until it wasn't really jazzy. But once again, this year, it was good. Once again, the people, everything was relaxed, everything is enjoyable, and you come out of there feeling pretty good. You feel pretty good about yourself, you feel pretty good about the people you've met, you feel pretty good about, well, you feel very good about the people you've been around. And then something like these, well, actually 3 incidents transpire. Now, the 3 I'm talking about, there were 3. Well, let's start first with the 2. The 2 police shootings. And once again, it puts me in a position to say, well, if I were a policeman, I would say, what the hell are these cops thinking about when they do this? Or when they shoot somebody or kill somebody thoughtlessly? And if I'm a cop, I'm going to feel that way. This is how I'm going to feel. I have to get out there and I have to work with the public every day. And there's not a lot of love for me being out there in uniform as it is, all right? And then something like this ramps up the public's hostility toward me. This is how I feel about that. That's where I see that. Now, when you get beyond that, you see, or you wonder, what's transpiring out here? And, you know, it causes a lot of reactionary programs. You have a lot of reactionary podcasts. You have a lot of reactionary radio talks and rallies and movements. So, as I asked, now what is transpiring? Now you have these sites, these programs usually found on YouTube, you know, the black-white shows, the ones that center on race and everything from white supremacy, conspiracies, to pretty much separation of the races. Now, while I have never listened to any of these programs, podcasts, or whatever they happen to be in their entirety, I do scroll down to the comment section to see some examples of who might be listening. And there were comments this time on one particular broadcast I saw this time. I don't recall the person's name, but it seems that He does more than one weekly broadcast, and it always winds up on YouTube. But as I said, I forgot what the topic was. But anyway, it was of a black-white matter. It was of a racial matter. I think it has something to do with President Obama, in fact. But when I read the comments, it gives me an idea of who the audience are. And there were comments like, if the Chinese and Mexicans aligned with blacks, we could eliminate white dominance. Things along those lines. Now, I know I could get backlash from this, but it has always been my observation. It has always been my observation that we as black Americans, and I said black Americans, and I'll have an observation on that in a few moments, always seem to want to have other ethnicities in their corner. That is to say, there always has been, a noticeable percentage of blacks, black Americans, who always seem to say, well, if blacks and Puerto Ricans stuck together, we get along fine. If blacks and Mexicans stuck together, we get along fine. If we align ourselves with the Asians and all of that, we're all minorities, we'll get along fine. And, you know, some responses to those comments in the letter suggested that these ethnicities that don't embrace the black cause are basically trying to be white. This is what several of the letters said. Well, they're not, you know, embracing us right now and all because, well, they're trying to be white or they're wanting to assimilate and be white. Well, you know what? I disagree. And you know why I disagree? Because I know it's not a matter of trying to be white. It's just a matter, I feel, of other ethnicities trying to make this system work for them. This applies to African immigrants as well. It's my viewpoint that quite a few of we, black Americans, expect or want other blacks and ethnicities to look at being black the same way we do. And I've said this over and over, people that I've heard, that I know have heard me say this. Hey, people right in my house and my family have heard me say this. And we can't expect that. Different people, black though they may be, black notwithstanding, or black though they may be, come from different cultures, they have different histories, and they are here for different reasons. Of course, the reason we're here, well, what makes us unique is we as black Americans were the only people here who did not ask to be here. But be that as it may, play the hand that's dealt you, which is the way I look at that now, as well as you can play the hand. But you can't expect all other ethnicities to come to your side and be on your side. You have to make things work for you how you can, where you can, when you can now. Aside from acknowledging the fact that you can't expect people to look at things from the same perspective as you, I'll give you at least one story that I remember from recently. And it was a classic and, hell, it was a tragic example of what I'm saying. And, you know, it was a story. I'm sorry for the long pauses here. Like I say, I'm tired. And some nights I do this podcast, it's late, and I'm more up for it than I am at other times and preoccupied with other things. But anyway, I digress. But, you know, I was returning from a trip, a little short week's vacation, and I was returning from a trip, and on the plane, I was scanning the digital cable channel on the plane, you know, flying the flights, and you have your TV and you have your Sirius XM radio. Well, I was scanning the channels, and I settled on HLN. And the story was about a black girl and a black guy this time. And anyway, the girl, it turned out she was from Nigeria or Uganda or Nigeria or Ghana or something. I don't know. Either way, she was from Africa. And she had come here with her family, and she was doing quite well in school. And if I remember correctly, she was on her way or had made her way to college, too. And she was doing quite well. And she was in organization. She was achieving in classes. She was just a model student and pretty much a model youth. You know, everybody liked her. Anybody that knew her liked her. There was nothing untoward about her. There was nothing in your face or nothing of that sort about her. She was just pretty much an achieving girl. Anyway, she did meet this one black guy. Not one. She knew lots of people, black and white. But she met this one black guy, and a lot of people didn't like him. He always had kind of an, for lack of a better term, an odd streak about her. And to take it even further, a lot of people would avoid him when they saw him coming because he always started controversy. He had his viewpoints on how things ought to be or was pushing the envelope with people's ratchets. But anyway, they did get to know each other, and I think if I remember the story, they went on a couple of dates or something of that sort. Okay. But she had eventually met a young white guy, and I think he was a college student too or something of that sort, but he played in a band too, and they were hitting it all fine. Said the black guy comes up and starts talking to her about her responsibility as a black woman and what she owes to her race. And even further, you know, how could she be a traitor? How could she not show some kind of props and homage and respect to her race? And I thought it funny at the time. You know, I chuckled, even though I knew it was HLN, so, you know, it was going to end in somebody being dead. I knew it was going to end in that. But it struck me as funny at the time when I heard it for the simple reason that I said, here's a black guy from America trying to tell a black girl from Africa how to be black. And I don't know, the irony at the time just caused a momentary little chuckle in me for, you know, the irony of it. And the somehow slight insanity of the whole thing. And anyway, he winds up eventually killing her. Yeah. And he flees to Mississippi. And they finally apprehend him, and he goes to jail. He was seemingly, looking at the show, fairly unrepentant about the whole thing, it seemed like. You know, he had, you know, outbursts in court and everything. In other words, he seemed like he was one nasty SOB, okay? But anyway, that was the story. Now, I told you the story, and it took place in started in Missouri, and it ended up with the killer being apprehended in Mississippi, hiding out with family or friends or something of that sort. But now, how the devil is all this tie into what's been happening? Now, if any listeners out there are out there, they may wonder just exactly where I was going with that. Well, it's like this. We need to rein ourselves in and think about some stuff. And some of the stuff we need to rein ourselves in and think about. And this one is for us, we as black people. We need to come in to terms, we as black Americans, have more in common with white Americans than we do with Africans. And I don't care if that's religion. Most black Americans and white Americans are Christian or some sort of Christian. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, what have you. You have that in common. Most of the food is pretty much the same that we have. We have a hell of a lot in common with food, entertainment and art, sports, just an abundance of stuff, right down to the jobs we work at, the places we go, the things that make us laugh, the things that don't make us laugh. We have more in common with white America than we do with Africans coming from other countries, with other religions, with other practices, with other cultures, with other festivals, with a lot of other stuff. The most we have in common with most other Africans is the mere fact that we're black. and sorry to say, boys and girls, that in itself is not the major, not always the major bond that says we have more in common with them than anybody else. Secondly, and this again pertains to us as African Americans this time, people from other countries come here to make life work, to get a better deal. That would include Africans. So when they come here and they want to make life work and they want to get a better deal and they come here, they know about the history or a good bit of the history. But that's not what's relevant to them. They're not going around dwelling or looking in a rearview mirror because wherever they left because coming here was a better deal for them. And so they're here to make things work in a better way for them. And I don't know if they what their opinion is on we as Black Americans are what their opinion are of us and, you know, the attentions we bring to the media and to the public about so many of the issues going on with Black America. I don't know. I don't know everybody's take, even though we all know Africans. We've worked with Africans. We've been around people of every ethnicity for some time now. But it's a whole different agenda for why they're here. It's a whole different agenda for why they're here. It's a whole different agenda for what they're trying to achieve. And this one is for us also. Most Africans, even though things have happened, you take Amadou Diallo. Well, Abner Louima was from Haiti, and Patrick Dorisman, I don't know where he's from. But they're not quite as vocal on racial issues, even with people like Abner Louima, when that situation happened, when he was shot, when the 41 shots were fired at him, and he was hit with four of those shots. But there's a lot of noise made, rightfully so. And there should have been a lot of noise rightfully made about that. But at the same time, most of the people that were giving him the support and bringing all the media sensationalism, that's a tacky way of saying it, considering that was a tragedy and an unwarranted and an unright and an unfair tragedy. But at the same time, considering how it was handled, most of the people that were at their forefront were other Black Americans. That would include Al Sharpton and a few other Black luminaries in our continuing, quote, struggle, unquote. But eventually, most Africans eventually get past that and they keep on moving on with their life. They keep on practicing their culture. They keep developing and doing what they're doing without even drawing back, to the best of my knowledge, to what happened some years ago. They remember, they don't forget, and especially the families wouldn't. But at the same time, they just keep moving forward. One other thing, too, because I've talked about these things where white Black people are concerned, where Black Americans are concerned. As I said, I don't say African American, I say Black American. And one thing that I did not mention here so far is where white society stands with this. And, you know, if anybody knows history at all, you would know that all these problems, all these situations did not start with Blacks. White Americans need more knowledge on why so many things transpired. Like some of the worst riots in American history were started and perpetrated by white people. I mean, I don't care. You can go back to the draft riots. If anybody doesn't know what the draft riots are, look up the draft riots that took place in the 1800s when President Lincoln enacted the draft. And after he enacted the draft, anybody that could buy their way out of it could buy their way out of it. And everybody was being drafted except Blacks. And it caused an uproar, especially considering the nature of what the war was essentially supposed to be about anyway. And it caused quite an uproar. And that was a terrible riot. And there were at least a couple of hundred Blacks killed. Sometimes there have been speculation that it was even higher. Okay, you had a riot in East St. Louis, Illinois. You had one or two towns, Rosewood, Florida, in the turn of the century, turn of the 20th century. being attacked, people killed, town burned to the ground. That was another one in Oklahoma. Okay, so this thing of rioting and civil insurrection of sorts is not something that's unique to us as blacks. And you can say that these things have started, and a lot of them have been perpetrated by white society as well, right up until the church shooting there in Charleston, South Carolina, of the 10 women who were at the prayer meeting of all places. Okay, so everybody's not off the hook. Everybody is accountable in some ways. None of that. None of that. None of that justifies what happened today with that kind of logic. And a shooter who ostensibly said that he wanted to kill white people, and especially white cops. None of that justifies the actions that people on both sides of the spectrum, black and white, those reactionaries, that percentage of people who feel like a call to arms or look for a reason for a call to arms, would respond to. And when I read the media, when I look at the media, when I look at what's going on in the media and how it's played out, especially one of my papers here in New York City, they have just been as partial and have been as partisan as a daily, supposedly neutral publication can get, you know? And it has gotten that way with this paper. It's gotten worse. And it seems to me with the way the media is playing things up now, and they're exacerbating the situation, and I don't quite understand how this works out to the point where it's for the good of people. Are you informing people, or are you inflaming people? Which one are you doing? I don't quite get it now. Now, the Glenn Beck radio program that comes on the Blaze channel. Some people have it, some people get it, some people don't. And there's a comment from a guy, he's on there kind of regular, he's a black guy. He's basically independent. I think he's a conservative. But apparently there was a situation, he said, that would probably never make the media. And it was a case of a Dallas Police Department cop when the shooting started. Now, they're out there looking at people protesting. And, of course, they're keeping things in check. And they're basically, too, trying to keep things from happening to the protesters as well as anything else. But anyway, when the shooting started, the story goes, this officer shoved one of the protesters out of the way of potential gunfire. And when he shoved him out of the way, one of the other officers was hit. Now, talk about some bitter irony. And the guy that was on Glenn Beck said he was absolutely certain you wouldn't hear anything about it in the media, except on the show where they were talking about it there, because that wouldn't be good news media. That would be antithetical, I guess, or whatever, to keeping things about us against the cops or the cops against us, as if we need to increase that kind of situation as it is. And to me, it's baffling. And this is where I come to now. This is where my whole storyline comes up to. To me, it's baffling. It's perplexing that in this society, in these times, there are more people, or rather black people, mixed in, ensconced in elements of the nation and of the nation's infrastructure, the corporate arena, and even social interaction. We are more intermingled, more intermixed, and you see more interracial relationships than any other time in the history of our nation, whether it be scripted entertainment, real public and media figures. That is to say, whether it's about information and news on real people and real media figures. I mean, think of all the people out here, not just Kanye and Kim, but so many other people that you have seen now in relationships or marriages that are interracial, that are mixed. and right down to regular people in mainstream society. You go all over the United States now, and you can see interracial couples. You see mixed couples everywhere in society. And from that perspective, I used to think that younger blacks were moving towards something, or toward a different attitude, toward a less partisan attitude coming up in the times that they come up in. This was pretty much my viewpoint, and has been for quite some time, based on my observations and the people I see and the things I see. This is what I had been thinking. This is what I had been feeling. And I used to think it was the people from our generation, you know, all us young people from the 60s and the 70s and everything, you know, the whole revolution will not be televised, people, and Black is Beautiful and all the other stuff, a lot of which we needed to know about, a lot of our mind needed to be broadened on a lot of things, but I thought we were the ones that still were looking at things from the old rearview mirror, looking at life perspective. But, you know, in spite of what I said about how I used to, and to a good degree, I still look at a lot of the younger Black people and white people these last few years. But, you know, now all we hear is widening racial divide. What's causing it? When so much, on the other hand, was looking positive, what's causing that? And I think it's coming from someplace very angry. I don't mean a geographic place, but I mean it comes from an attitude, a frame of mind. And somehow the media is more to blame than they should be for how it's perpetrated, for how it's put out there, for how it's framing some of the minds we are confronted with out here. And I think the media is shaping the psyche of a lot of people out here who they should not touch on those points. Now, we always heard about the widening racial divide for a while and all of that. And I was saying to myself, well, yeah, but basically it's not as critical and it's not as bad as the media is playing it up. And I gave the media, you know, kind of a loose rope approach to the whole thing. But now it seems like the whole approach is tightening up. And as I say, we are in a society where we were more ensconced with each other and in our ways and in our ways of thinking and in our ways of relationships and in our ways of who's working where and with who and how. And, of course, there's always going to be racial preferences in some strata, in some percentage or another. It's the way of the world. As long as they're racist, they are going to be divisiveness. You're not going to eradicate it completely. But it had gotten to a point now where it had completely, but you could completely agree that things were not like they were. And it seems like now they are, thanks to the media in a lot of ways, things are going back to, as one woman said, 1968, and I certainly hope not. That's what she said, that's what I say. And now my time is winding down. I have 1 minute left. I didn't cover all the points I wanted to, but for anybody that was listening out there, I want to thank you again. And you've been listening to Shut Up and Listening, broadcasting live out of New York City. I'll be doing another broadcast at sometime unscheduled soon. So in the meantime, everybody take care of each other. Everybody keep your mind open at what you're looking at and why you're looking at it and who's reacting how to what. So with that, everyone have a good night.